Don Burry went retrospectively through these three trials leading up to 9741, and then we could, across these studies, retrospectively generate hypotheses about the value of treatment. Now, one of the places where I differ to some degree with the co-authors is on the issue of ER testing. I'm not confident that our testing is high enough quality to draw conclusions. Also, we did not apply standard and consistent hormone therapy to these patients. So you have to recognize that when you try to interpret this and put it into practice. In the ER negatives, there was a big benefit for higher dose CAF. There was a big benefit for paclitaxel and the big benefit for Q2 versus Q3 therapy. In the ER positives, this was quite different. There was really no discernible advantage for the high-dose version, although it still looks to the eye as though the low-dose version of CAF is probably inferior. And I think there are really two take-home points. The first one is that chemotherapy for ER-negative breast cancer, both in terms of recurrence and death, is a profoundly effective treatment and one that shouldn't be scoffed at. In fact, in terms of an indirect comparison, it probably puts you in the same ballpark as hormone therapy does for ER-positives and, frankly, as trastuzumab does for the HER2-positives. For ER-positive disease, the point estimates are pretty close to half that size. They don't exclude no benefit at all, but the estimate of benefit at 5 years still remains favorable, and I'd say above the threshold that most patients would consider worthwhile. An important caveat here is that this data does not address the question of whether chemotherapy works in ER-positive disease. What it addresses is the question of differences in chemotherapy in ER-positive disease. You would need a chemotherapy untreated control arm for the basis of comparison. Some will argue that the low-dose version of CAF in 8541 was no-dose chemo, but that's not technically true, and that's one of the places where, again, the data lets us down. It doesn't let us address that basic existential question, does chemo work in this subset, in my opinion. The explanation that Don has put forth is that it's about the hazards, and this is more important than just a little parlor game because this speaks to the biology of breast cancer. ER-negative disease having a more rapid proliferation early on, and you see a high spike in recurrence risk, which is driven down by the better chemo. You don't see that in the ER-positives because they don't have the early high risk, and in fact, over the 20 years, their risk is fairly consistent. This is the sobering news about ER-positive disease, that just because you get through the first 5 years doesn't mean you're really out of the woods. You're quite the opposite. You see the same thing for paclitaxel or not. The whole benefit is in reducing the early hazard of recurrence. The ER-positives, and you don't have that spike. The dose-dense data, you can see again that there's a reduction in hazard for the Q2 compared to Q3, and you don't see it in the ER-positives.